Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast, coming to you from Gold Diggers Recording Studios in Los Angeles, California, in partnership with Consequence Podcast Network. We'll be getting to know some of your favorite comedians a little bit better, and so will they. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. On this week's episode of Long Time No See, the podcast, the immensely talented Dean Del Rey and Maddie Kimber. While the questions I'll be asking throughout the season remain largely unchanged, the relationships between our guests range from longtime friends to complete strangers. Please be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast and visit longtimenoseecomedy.com for live events near you. And without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourselves.
Yeah, your mic right there, Dean.
You can't see through them like that. You know, you always see in movies.
Not only that, but you're like, who are they going to bring in? Is it somebody?
Someone we sort of see every now and then.
So yeah,
it's good though. Yeah,
there you go. So you guys have met before? You guys are friends, or do you remember where you first met?
I see Dean once every 2 months.
Yeah,
and with his dog, and
yeah, really close then.
I know of. It's not like I don't know him. There's a good start, I guess.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I can get us started with some questions here. What was your most recent bomb, and how does that compare to your worst bomb?
Start with me. Most recent bomb. Shit. I don't know. You know, I did stand up on the spot recently, and I didn't really like the set because I think with me, they just do topics by my looks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I got to be really careful when I wear. They'll be like, Van Halen, if you're wearing, like, a shirt or whatever, so.
Eating food off the ground.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right.
Just, yeah. So I didn't really like the topics, and then, you know, they put the clips out anyway, and I'm, like, promoting a special right now that I love. And then there's these clips that I don't love, and I'm like, oh, man. So it wasn't really a bomb because it wasn't my material, but I bomb all the time, especially right now working on new stuff. I'm not afraid, you know? I think there's this weird era right now where people don't want to try new stuff, like at the store or whatever, because I don't want to bomb. And, you know, I remember the days that's where you worked out. And you bombed until you found the stuff, and then you went on the road and worked. Mm-hmm. Now you work your stuff on the road and bomb out there.
Yeah.
So you can kill at the store.
Bombing in private's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, bombing in...
Like, it, probably you're like, oh my God, no one saw that?
Yeah, it's bombing like in Tennessee?
Yeah,
good.
In front of people who pay to see me? Fuck
yeah. Well, they like when you bomb, too. They're like, this is weird.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I'll call it a bomb. I mean, I had a JFL audition, and it was just... It was at the lab at the improv, and it was just like, I mean, I'm not the guy I think they're looking for. I'll admit it. So it's like everyone's like, this is my upbringing, and here's my, you know, interesting background. And then I'm just like, my girlfriend reads porn books, and they're just like, I'm just tanking for like five. It felt good, though. Like, I was, you ever get off stage and you're like, man, that felt good to say. It was just not resonating with anyone. And it was kind of like just a good, in front of industry, smug people judging me.
They weren't going to laugh anyway.
And everyone, and then first comment off the stage, some guy, I don't even know who he is, but he's like, I guess works at a management company. And he's like, yeah, this crowd's weird tonight. I'm like, I don't need that. I know what, I was there. They were weird. I'm going to go on record and saying you guys were fucking weird.
I like when I see somebody bomb and they come off and they don't admit to it. They're like, that was pretty good.
That's psychotic.
You're like, did you even hear what was going on in there?
It's kind of funny because it's concerning. It's like you're like, oh, your ears and brain don't process things.
Pretty wild, man.
How
pretty
do they
wild.
Usually do if that's, yeah, that's success.
Yeah, you're like, what's your crush? If that was your bomb, you're like, Jesus Christ, what are you listening for?
I wish I bombed at a JFL audition. They just never, ever auditioned me.
Yeah, well, like I didn't get a call back, so
16 years in, they're just nothing. Like, nah, he's old.
Well, that was a weird thing. There was a kid on it who was like 20, talking about like just such and things pertaining to his life, but it was just like, and then I'm like 38, I'm just like, what are we doing? I can be your dad. In one world, I could be your father. And now I'm like going after him, and he's like,
I'm 59. I would be your guys'
grandfather.
I'm the 20-year-old
to you. This is just that podcast 20 years from now where we're just interviewing each other.
My favorite thing right now in the industry, like that really old guy killed it on the Don't Tell.
You know? I saw that.
So you know right now the industry's like, we got to get some like old people.
Yeah, they're going to nursing homes.
It's going to be my time. It's going to be my time.
Yeah.
There's like three. Yeah, they have like three.
Fresh old faces.
Three old people. Specials in a month. That's funny.
If you guys were headlining a comedy tour with historical figures, who would be on your lineup? So you can do like a... Matty Chimber and Friends, or it can be like you set the lineup and then historical figures.
Oh, I'm blanking on his name, and I don't want to ask because I think that'll give the humor away. But I will say, who's the guy who killed Abraham Lincoln?
John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, I don't know why. He seems like he has a good feel for theaters.
Is he going to feature? Yeah.
An actual killer coming to the stage.
He's just seeding people. He's not really pertaining to the...
He does theaters.
Just a theater show where he's looming in the background the whole time. I don't know. Maybe just pure old assassins. Sounds like a good, you know, the old killers. There we go. Going back to our old theme. And this is assuming they're alive and we can openly talk about their murders. You know, just discuss the grassy knoll or whatever, whatever's needed to get some laughs.
I would go Evel Knievel.
Oh,
that's a
nice.
Good one.
Yeah.
That's
a great one.
That's up your alley, too.
Evel Knievel. I would go Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Evel Knievel into Hendrix. And then are you closing or?
I'm actually like the old school headliner, that one where they said you're headlining, but you're really going on last. We're going to have you headline. You drive out to like Long Beach and you go on at 1 a.m. No one in
there. What do you think about that? You're like, I think the crowd wants to leave.
Yeah.
They don't know who I am. Evel Knievel, that's a good one. Didn't
what a
break
green room,
back?
Too. That'll be awesome.
Didn't he, like,
John
mess
Wilkes
up
Booth, it? Evel Knievel, that'd be...
That's a pretty good, room.
Pretty
I'm not mad about that at all.
If your voice popped in the heads of everyone on Earth at the same time, what would you say?
Mine would say... Like and subscribe.
I know. My brain's going to social media. That's how sad it is.
Like and subscribe.
Watch for engagement. I need my retention up. I would say Trump 2027. Yeah. Just everyone just starts fist fighting.
Throw the world into chaos.
Just chaos real quick.
If when you died, you got put into a room for eternity with people who died the same way, how would you want to die?
Wait, what was that?
So if when you died, you got put in a room for eternity with people who died the same way. So if you died in a car accident, everyone who died in a car accident is there with you. How would you want to die?
How would you want to die?
I think something like mauled by a bear.
That's a terrible way to go, though.
But at least we're all like, that cool, fucking thing. Yeah. My pants fell down first. My dick was out for half of it. I was alive. Everyone's not even paying attention to me dying. They're like, oh, he's kind of hard.
Something malicious
where we can just like commiserate. Because if it was like, oh, the cancer. Yeah, cancer. No, I want to get ripped apart and be like, you got your head first?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. In front of your family? What were you thinking camping there?
How would I die? Man. Well, I almost died a few years ago. I got hit on my motorcycle. Wow. Lady ran me over doing 70, meth head, carjacking. Hit me on the 110 freeway, so.
That's a good highway to get hit on.
Yeah.
That's a sketchy highway to begin with.
It's a racetrack.
It's literally,
it's literally like nobody's calling it out, but as soon as you get on it, you're like, ice house, here I come, through those tunnels.
Yeah.
It's totally like one of those video games. So I guess motorcycle crash, you know, although it would be super painful, you know. But yeah, and then I would just be in there like, did the meth head hit you?
He was well.
Yeah.
Would you see Evel Knievel? Did he die?
Yeah.
He got another
110 too.
Yeah.
He got smoked by a meth head.
That'd be a pretty fun room to be in, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more about the vibe shooting the shit after the fact. Let's deal with the pain first.
Yeah.
A lot of people think about who they want to hang out with. So they're like, oh, heroin so that I could hang out with. Like
Kurt Cobain
or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Even though he blew his head off.
Like, or like, kill myself and hang out with Anthony Bourdain. It's like, well, it's
first off, I like these people. They assume they're going to get to hang with the celebrity like they did in real life.
Yeah.
You're like, there's still a line. At least also, my people are just a bunch of idiots.
Those are suicides, so it would just be a bummer.
Yeah, that'd be the saddest room ever.
Because that means you committed suicide also, which is just loser. Just a room of losers.
Crybabies.
I had so much money, I had to kill myself.
Sticking on theme, I guess. If you could see any statistic about your life when you died, what would it be? So how many steps you walked, how many beers you drank, something like that.
Mine would be how many sets I did. Because my special, I just came out, it's called 5836. So that's just the statistic I would want to see. Like 10,840 sets.
Yeah.
Still doing a podcast nobody watches.
That assumes at some point you're going to lose count.
No, I refuse now. That's good. It's like such
you're just getting confirmation out of number
yet. It's just a thing, you know?
What would I want to know? Statistic about my life. Maybe how many times I've said fuck. I mean, it's probably an astronomical number.
It's insane. Because
I'll transcribe my sets just to kind of go through it. And I'll do the control F and look up fuck. And I'm like, 150? I'm like, that's an insane. I forget half the time I say it. So I feel like that would be a number that would.
It's better than You know, those comics.
Brutal.
Those comics, man, they just go. And then I went there, but And then I and you're like, oh, I gotta get the fuck out of this room.
I feel bad. I went to a wedding and the groom read his vows and he did that like in between every sentence. And I'm like, just somebody nudge it, something. And
yeah.
It was pretty, because the wife killed it. And then he's just like,
so
this is going good. You're like, don't stop with the fucking, you're negating everything you're saying right now.
For the rest of my life?
Yeah, sure.
Next up, who's your celebrity crush and what would your opening line with them be?
I mean, opening lines for me, first off, just let alone celebrity crush. Random woman when I was single at a bar would throw me to a frenzy. So celebrity crush, I'm a huge I think Scarlett Johansson's pretty pretty attractive.
Which era? Now?
I'll take probably 15 years ago if I'm gonna get if I'm gonna get picky. Yeah. I would say probably, you know, which of your movies is your favorite? And then I would assume, I would like to hope that would start some sort of dialogue. And then she would ask me and I go, I don't think I've seen any. Just nag her up top. I'm looking forward to watching some.
Mine would be Kat Denning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Two Broke Girls.
Two Broke Girls, yeah.
Is that the main, one of the leads?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think I know you. Okay, yeah.
And then I would just say, hey, I do comedy. I lose right away.
Do you know Jonathan Kite too?
Yeah, we worked together, Jonathan and I.
That's funny.
I did a movie with Garrett Morris, and he was on that show. Mm. And I went down to the taping once, and I was just thinking like, man, this show could never be made right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a, it was a funny ass show.
I've never seen it. I was blown away
by how good the two girls were.
Really?
Yeah, because they would do a scene, and then the writers would go, blah, 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 and then they would do a totally different scene right there on the spot. And I was like, these guys fucking kill.
Didn't Whitney write that show or something?
She was a creator.
Creator or something
Ian
like that.
Ian Edwards was a writer on the show.
Ian's great. I'm not surprised.
But yeah.
They're like, let's change that. Ian wrote that scene. Let's riff something. That's what they're riffing. I'm kidding. I saw Ian at Trader Joe's the other day.
They couldn't make that show anymore because now everyone's broke. So we're all broke girls now.
Yeah, we're all broke girls.
Yeah.
That's the show right there.
Do you guys think that people are born funny or is it a learned skill?
I think there are people who are born funny. I think that I would define funny because I think we can agree stand-up funny is very analytical and you have to like how you word things, I think, is conducive for stand-up. But then I know funny people. Yes, I think people are born funny. I agree on that. I think you can learn like, but then there's writers where in conversation, I don't think they're funny, but they can be like quietly funny with writing. So there's like two different kinds, like the, I'll call it the class clown humor. And then there's like the writer humor, which in person they're not funny. And then they say something that they wrote and you're like, oh, this guy's a genius. So
I think it's the classic case of the construction guy, I call it. So when they're at your show and they're heckling, they think they're funny because they're around their friends who know them. So they're like, I'm funnier than this guy, I'll show it. And they'll say something so fucking dumb, you know? And you'll just be like, oh, yeah, construction yard, right? Mm-hmm. There's that kind of funny where your friends know the back story on you so they can laugh. And then you kind of need some kind of funny like that to try stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have some
formal training. It's like you can be a fighter, but to be a boxer, there's a little more.
Right. And so you go try it because your friends thought you were funny and you realize how fucking hard it is right away. And either you quit or you keep going. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's the people that are the annoying funny, too, that are always on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, which that's kind of the class clown.
Yeah.
You're just like, whoa, dude. But, yeah, there's people definitely born funny. There's people like that are just fucking funny. You know, like I'm friends with Jacob Dylan from the Wallflowers. That guy's funnier than anyone I know. And I hang out with the funniest. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy is so fast. He can clown people real dry like a Bob Newhart and just and smash it.
Yeah.
But he would never do stand-up, you know?
Yeah, smart man. Yeah, it's funny. You use the analogy of being funny around your friends. Like, I get it in the term of, like, a heckler trying to – he's annoying and will, you know, ruin a show, arguably. I also used to work in construction, so I get that a lot. But one way that I kind of, like, to, like, give myself some sort of trajectory with stand-up, though, I think at the end of the day, like, if you're funny around your friends, that's kind of like a some sort of foresight as far as, like, when how the you're basically training the country or the world for that matter to find you funny like they do, mm-hmm. because they'll let their guard down and they see the humor, whereas when we go on stage to strangers, they're kind of like, who's this guy? So in a way, we're trying to get the country to be our close group of friends that, like, when you walk in the room, they're like, oh, this guy's going to say something funny. So, like, yeah. I can see your scenario where the guy's just being a clown, but in a weird way, I try to, like, use that strategy for just growing my comedic presence, like, you know, on the internet or anything for that matter, so...
Yeah, it is pretty mind-boggling that you could go into a room and in a couple minutes have total strangers laughing. Mm-hmm. That's the most insane thing to me ever, especially if you're in a giant, like a theater or something. You're like, I can't even believe this.
Yeah.
I don't even know these people, you know?
Yeah. Just going to a DMV with the same mentality. They're like, yeah. No. Oh, they need to be sitting and looking at me. All right. I can't just shout this into a vacuum.
All right. Not using a scale of 1 to 10, how attractive are you?
How what? Attractive?
Attractive. Oh. So not using a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh.
I'm get to know me hot. Like people, yeah. I'm not approach hot. I'm not like off the, you startle hot. Like you need to get to know me. And then you're like, mm-hmm. I think the relationships I've had, they've happened after the person, you know, after the female knew me and she's like, oh, he is good looking. I just, sometimes the angles and the way you come at me is jarring, but once they kind of accept my presence, you know, like rescue dogs, you have to be in the room for it with a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's how I'm the stranger approaching a shivering woman.
Rescue
and
dog
I,
hot.
Yeah. I kind of let her calm and then I show her that I mean well. So. Which is a sad way to describe myself. This is going to be played at my funeral after I kill myself. Anyway, sorry.
I've never been called attractive. So, and if someone did, I would be like, oh, crazy person. But I'm like Bobby King of the Hill hot, you know? So somebody likes him.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
You have your niche.
Yeah, yeah. That's so if somebody approaches me, I'm like, ah, oh, you're a big King of the Hill fan.
They are making a new one where he's grown up.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, yeah. I saw a meme for it. Yeah. I could be a meme, and I'm just
what a great old show that was.
It was
man.
Funny. Yeah, I liked it.
That girl was Bobby, right? Who did Bob? Alden. Yeah, she's great, man. She killed it.
Women complaining about not getting jobs. I go, you voice all the little boys in all these shows. I mean, what more do you want?
You're not a boy.
Yeah.
If I was protesting the industry, plainly not a boy.
Gender.
Yeah.
Fucking issue. That it's like Bart Simpson's a girl.
Yeah, Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
Please stay tuned while we share a message from our sponsors. Thanks to our sponsors. Now, let's get to another question.
If you guys were a ghost haunting one specific location, where would it be and how would you mess with people?
If I was a ghost, where would I be? Oh, I'd be at the Comedy Store with the other ghosts.
Yeah.
The supposed ghosts that are supposed to be there. I've never seen a ghost there, but other people. But I also know there's a lot of people that do drugs around there. So they might be on psychedelics and be like, I definitely saw a ghost. And it's like, yeah, it wasn't the mushrooms, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I'd be at the store just looking at the lineup. Really?
Knocking the paper off the wall.
Yeah.
Just like flicking up. Where would I be? Hey, I like that he picked the Playboy Mansion as if women walk around naked there all day. You're like, no, it's still just like a house.
That'd be an annoying ghost.
People eat lunch.
He'd be over there like, ooh.
Yeah, he'd be pissed off. He'd be like, no one's naked. He's like trying to throw bras out of the... Where would I be? I think some sort of nude thing would be a little annoying after a while. Where is a place that I would want to haunt? I think it would just be... Man, this is a weird question. Why is my brain going to Costco right now? I'm just like so, just fucking with the sample ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something very mundane where I can just peruse half the time and then other times mess with people. I need a place where I'm going to be stimulated as well and I can.
I'm changing mine to the Hollywood Bowl.
There you go.
Just free concerts.
Yeah, there you go.
Just floating around.
Like, we're starting to find a way. We're like, okay, I'm going to annoy them a little, but I want to go back to that question.
I'm just down here in the best seats.
Yeah.
My brain wanted to say porn. I'm like, that'd be awful after a while.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting nutted on. You're like, am I getting pranked? I'm dead. Yeah. I shouldn't be.
Plus, you're seeing the fluffers.
Yeah, it's just a sad room. You're haunting. Like,
I don't need to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah, they're like haunted already.
The cock rings and the boner pills.
I'm just shivering. I'm like, can I be alive again so I can leave?
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I mean, everything I do in life. I wouldn't call them useless, Wes. I would call them... skills that I like to cooking's not useless because we all have to do that. I know what I can do is I can write backwards like as easy as I can write forwards. So like I can, and then you turn the paper around, you can like read it normal. I don't know what it is in my brain where I can just write like as fast as I
can.
No, but yeah, I know, I'm like, I write for dyslexic people. No, yeah, I don't know what it is like where I can just do that. And then another stupid thing, I'll just be sitting on the couch and I'll just spin a pillow on my finger for like the whole show. Bored. Just, I don't know why. Just random shit.
Definitely
I'm very clown party favor.
House clown.
Yeah, basically, I'm kind of entertainment for my girlfriend.
Useless talent. Useless.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like,
I try not to do anything useless. I mean, you could be dead tomorrow, but I guess a useless talent would be sleeping.
There you go.
I sleep like a madman. I spent years on coke, and I don't know why I was running from sleep, but man, I love it now.
I'm jealous, yeah.
I like to sleep or do comedy. That's my my life now.
How many hours? I've been big into sleep lately. What time do you go to bed and how many hours do you sleep?
Well, after
you set time?
After COVID, I kind of got fucked when we weren't doing comedy. I'd just go to bed at like 8.
Oh, wow.
I'd be like, there's nothing to do.
That's interesting.
And I don't watch TV.
Oh, so you're really passing us. See, I'm blue lights in the face. I'm stimulated till like I just physically can't keep staying.
Oh, man. I can sleep. If I'm not moving, I could sleep.
Interesting.
Just stop.
I used to be like that, and then one day I drink coffee all day, but I mean lately I'll wake up at like 6:30 every day, even if I go to bed at like 1.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just like wide awake. And
I definitely wake up early.
It's fun waking up early.
Yeah,
it'd be like noon, you're like, is it a whole day already?
Yeah, I don't like that shit. I like to get up, do stuff, and then get back into my house before the animals are out.
Oh, there you go. You're like I Am Legend. Yeah. You have to be home by sundown.
Yeah.
You get bit.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Nice. Do you guys have a pre-show ritual and then do you have an onstage outfit that you go to?
Pre-show ritual, I kind of don't really do anything. I mean, I'm a very nervous person, like naturally. So lately, I take a beta blocker before I go on stage.
Oh, wow.
Just because, like, my buddy who's a comic too, he's like, I just get in my head and he's like, why are you nervous? I go, it's weird. I'm not nervous. My body gets nervous. And yeah, when I'd go up there every now and then, it would go away. But like every show, and then, you know, every now and then it would bleed into my set where you're so nervous you forget like a line or this, any other. And it felt like it was just like I was not being like who I know I could be. Because, like, you know, you perform when you really are confident, and then when you're nervous, you're like, I want to be the confident guy all the time. So right now, I'll take my double B and then just sit there and listen to music. And I think I just wear shit like this now. I don't really, like, I'm not trying to, like, my biggest pet peeve is, like, I don't need to, like, be flashy on stage. I just wear, like, a T-shirt and this shit.
My pre-show, I always listen to the set from the night before just because I'm usually working on some new stuff in the middle of the set, and I want to keep hearing that and keep building on it. So I always do that on the way to wherever I'm going, especially if I'm headlining. I'll listen to the hour of the night before. I don't need to listen to the whole thing. I just need to go through it and go, oh, yeah, this right. was there. Oh, I did this. And then as far as outfits, I always try to wear something that the other people aren't wearing, especially nice. The crowd. Like, I used to wear a flannel, and then I'd look in the crowd, and I'd be like, oh, this is out. Everybody in the crowd was wearing flannel. I was like, this is dumb.
Your fan groups in the
but
crowd.
I also come from, like, a rock and roll world where I always liked the people like Jimmy Page, who had dragon pants, which would be insane. I wanted to call my special dragon pants, you know?
That's funny.
But it's definitely no one else is going to have dragon pants, you know?
That's funny.
Or the comic bringing you up. He's not going to be wearing dragon pants. So
I want to see your special where he is, though. Everyone's in dragon pants.
But I definitely just, I want to have a little bit of a different look in this day and age, especially because people just kind of, you know, they just forget. I mean, I told this story before I did comedy, I went to go see a show. And there were these incredible comedians on, and I mean, huge, great ones. And as soon as I left, I couldn't even remember who they were because they were all pretty fucking good. So if you're wearing something, they could be like, you know, the guy in the fucking camo or whatever. Smart. People just, they leave. And I used to hand out cards and people would make fun of me. And I was like, you got to, you know, you're trying, this is pre-social media. You're trying to get them to come back. Mm-hmm. That's the whole
dude,
point.
When I used to open for people, they'd walk by and they'd be like, were you on the show? And I'm like, I was literally on stage for a half hour.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's insane people's amnesia with stuff like that.
Totally.
So it's a good idea. I mean,
you just got to do it because there's 8 million comedians now, mm-hmm. 7 billion clips. Mm-hmm. And I also don't do it to try to stand out. I do it just because I love fashion. Also, I'm a huge fashion guy.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Tone Bell told me one thing, you know, Tone, right? He told me, he's like, at the time, I know he doesn't do it anymore, but he's like, he always wear like a hood. He tried to wear the same thing though. So at least when people would see him, he would like, I guess not stand out, but he would wear the same thing so much. He's like, oh, the guy with the hoodie. Like, so he would kind of like inadvertently do that through just sheer repetition of always wearing the same thing. But it's funny. I'll try to buy like nice, cool, like jackets like that. I'm just like, then I look at them, I'm like, I can't pull it off. So sometimes I just revert back to just like, let me just blend it. See, I want to blend it. I'm like, I don't want to.
I remember when I started and everybody dressed like Tosh, and I didn't know who Tosh was. I was an open micer.
Was it the zip up?
No, the cardigan.
Oh, the cardigan.
So
that's
like
funny.
The cardigan, and then they'd hold the mic and they would point, you know, like, oh, really? Oh, really? Too
that's
rough
funny.
For you? You know, and I was like, is this like a thing that you're supposed to do as a comedian? You wear the sweater and you say, and I didn't know. And then I saw Tosh and I went, oh, man, I get it. They're all doing this guy.
That's so funny.
And then later it kind of became Burr with the arm on the mic stand.
Yeah, there's always these little comfort.
Yeah, and people are doing that. And now there's a shitload of guys doing Shane Gillis.
Shane's hand, yeah.
Yeah, the rhythm and the cadence and the look. It's and I seen it in rock and roll. Of course, when you're starting out, you don't know what to do. So you're playing covers in a band and you're kind of dressing like the guy you like.
Right.
But if you don't eventually get out of that, you know, it's just, it's insanity.
It's funny you compared it to rock and roll because I played sports growing up. And I would say when comics are young, it's like Little League where you would emulate your favorite player's batting stance.
Right.
Just to, for some, like, you can ground your nerves in something. But yeah, you're right. Like, the thing is, you see people who now, like, they almost live in that emulation phase and then become known with that. And, you know, this is too inside baseball, but I'm sure we off screen we can name 50 people. They're like, oh, he's still doing him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird.
100%.
It's weird when you don't see them grow out of that or be conscious enough to grow out of that. And it's, like, odd because you're like, oh, you kind of, like, not that, you know, I don't think that makes them better, but it is, like, it's still like a little bit of like you're using their humor character that they built to kind of get you ahead a little bit with the shows and blah, blah, blah. That's why, dude, I don't watch like specials, podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear other people's things. I want to just like concentrate all my weird quips and mannerisms like because, I mean, I've been victim. I'm a New England guy. I remember, like, when I first moved out here, I listened to Bill Burr, and you just start doing, like, I caught myself, like, one time doing, like, one inflection. He did it. I'm like, I can't. I'm done. I stopped listening to literally, like, I don't want, I'll watch a special for, like, 10 minutes just to be like, oh, let me see what they're doing. And
yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, it's.
And, you know, also, it's a weird thing. I was lucky. I had a bunch of shitty, you know, bad habits, and I had Ian Edwards pull me aside, and just, I got lucky because I had somebody that cared and was a friend.
Right, you don't see that often.
Yeah, I mean, but when I see people doing stuff, I don't want to say anything, because then they're like, they're so soft now. They'd be like, I can't fucking, he came up and just said, who the fuck is he, man?
Yeah, it's
tough. And they, and then you're like, oh, fuck, sorry, dude, I'm just trying to help you.
It is.
So now I just walk on.
Yeah, it's sad that it's, yeah, you can't. Like, some close people, and I've had a friend do that to somebody else who was emulating Shane to some degree, and the kid went and ran and talked shit about the guy who gave him that piece of,
that's
you're
it.
Like, yeah,
that's
right.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
You just can't say anything now because people are so fucking soft. When I started at the store, those people would not survive because it was just hardcore hazing on the patio.
Good.
Brutal, yeah. And it got me to where I am. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you start, you think it's just about making people laugh, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, you want to be good.
Yeah, you want to be a unique person in
this thing.
Not like, we don't need another him. That's not the point of this.
Yeah, exactly.
But some people get such a dopamine rush of just getting the laugh that they,
oh, yeah,
they kind of intentionally put blinders on for ethics.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I'm just going to keep going this way, even though I'm completely ripping off X, Y, and Z or whatever. But you, like you said, it's like, it's weirdly freeing now because I adopted the, like, whatever.
Yeah, that's me too. All
right,
like,
good
yeah.
luck. I mean, you'll figure it out. I mean, I trust that maybe one
hopefully
day.
One of their close friends will say something.
Yeah, who knows?
But when they don't, I just go, yeah, who am I to say?
I don't
you
give
know,
a shit.
I'm just down here working
that's
on
like
myself.
Like my comics growing up, I mean, like, would at an open mic of all places, would be like, they'd pull someone aside and be like, you can't joke about, don't do that bit. And I'm like, how do you know that that joke isn't a conduit to get to the, what the bit will be in a year?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I used to hate
this is
people,
an open mic.
Yeah, it would, it blows my mind, like, mics now where it's like people are like bashing other people's for doing. I go, this room is to be psychotic in.
Yeah.
This room is literally to be insane
it's
in.
It's the gym.
It's literally, yeah. It's like me getting mad for
I don't go down to the gym. And not to punch the bag.
That, right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, you go up to the fucking bag and you're like, just kidding, buddy. Yeah. I'm in there fucking hammering that bag.
Some awfully.
So when I leave, I don't hammer someone.
Like some insulting, rude, misogynistic
stuff. Yeah, I never understood people like Mel Gibson where they're saying racist stuff out in the open. They got enough money to build like a racism box in their backyard.
It's like people just with
go
bipolar.
In there. Yeah.
Bipolar people, they have a smash box and they go break shit. Go make.
Just
that's
go.
A new business. Escape room, we got to start like a commercialized race box by Dean Del right now.
Come in here and just get your shit
Dean's
out.
Dean's race box.
Hey, why is it mine?
We're selling memberships. You need a face. A face of the name.
Perfect. What do you guys think that everyone should try once?
Oh, whatever they've been wanting to do. Like, I always wanted to try comedy my whole life, and I went and did it. And I always tell people, people don't go do something they want to do because they're afraid of failure or they have credit card debt. You know what I mean? They don't go for their dreams. So I always tell people, look, I went to the Comedy Store when I was 44. And signed up for the open mic. That's lunacy. But I'd always wanted to do comedy because I grew up on it. Saturday Night Live. I grew up on Cheech and Chong and Pryor and Carlin and Bill Hicks. I was like, and one day I go, fuck this, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so whatever it is, go do it. You
it
know?
You. Yeah. If you're a white guy, date a Latina woman once. Scares you. No, just kidding. I'll piggy. I agree with D. Yeah, do something that's like weird or out of your comfort zone or move away. I mean, I used to be like when I moved out here, you kind of had drink the Kool-Aid of being like, why does no one move? And then I kind of understood why people are townies. But yeah, do something that's just like different where it kind of rattles you a little, I guess. So you can kind of like see who you are in these scenarios that are way less comfortable than just going to a job. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you have a great job, don't quit that or whatever, but do something that kind of gets your brain going a little bit where, I mean, Jesus Christ, quitting your job to do comedy. You're like it felt like when I was skydiving where every inch of my rational side was like, what are you doing? Like we have this much money. This doesn't make sense. But then in that like chaos, you start to find reasoning and you get a little stronger with how you manage things and you realize you overact about some things and you kind of, it makes you like evolve a little bit to some degree. But if you have a good job.
I always like when somebody comes up and they ask me for advice. Hey man, how do I get into comedy? I used to give people advice.
Yeah.
And then I'd see them look at me and they'd be like, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like, give up everything, you know, your job, your video games, drugs, whatever, and focus on one thing 24/7.
It is that. Yeah.
It is that. And then they just go like, nah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Because they think you're going to go like, you just suck this dick over here and you're in.
Yeah.
Like some fast way to something.
Yeah, right. One time I had this comedian and we went and they got me lunch and they were like, I just want to bring you to lunch and maybe like just talk about joke writing. And it was just like, what do you think I'm going to tell you?
Yeah, yeah.
You think I'm going to be like, dude, fuck, talk about tits.
Yeah.
Hey, you're good. That's all like, I have this secret pill. I'm like,
yeah.
First off, I was so blunt. It was like alarming where I almost felt like they wanted to split the bill after where I was just like, it sucks. You're going to write 1,000 bad jokes. I don't know what to tell you right now. Thank you for lunch. Like, yeah. I can't help you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
I don't think that people understand when they ask for advice. I have no idea what your fucking work ethic is. I have no idea what your life is. So I can't just assume you're going to be like me and go for it 7 days a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can't really give you advice except for if you don't like it, don't do it.
Yeah.
And if you like it, do it. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you went on once a week, you're winning. People are like, they look at monetary and fame. I'm like, that's not what it's about. I went to the store because I was like, I've always wanted to do this. I didn't think I was, you know, going to be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fucking loved it. You know, if I didn't love it, I'd be long gone.
Yeah.
Long gone.
I think that's with anything, except for people with jobs, and then they're like, oh, I have to
stay. Got jobs they hate.
Yeah, fuck
and
that.
And they stay. I'd rather do comedy.
I actually like my job, so I can't attest to that, but I know that other people, like, I did construction, and I was like, I actually kind of liked it. I mean, it wasn't bad, but...
Yeah.
Don't skydive. I mean, that seems like an answer you probably would have heard.
I did it twice.
I did it once and I was like, I'm over that shit.
I did it the first time and then I did it the second time and went, what am I doing? I already fucking did this.
I did Vegas hungover and I was like, what am I doing? Like, to my mental psyche, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. But, it's absolutely the dumbest thing.
Yeah. It is stupid. And people like it.
Yeah.
That's alarming.
And before we continue, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. We appreciate our sponsors for their support. Now, let's get back to the good stuff. Are there any super petty hills you guys are willing to die on?
Oh, mine is, I love this Metallica album called Saint Anger, and everyone hates it, and I fucking... Any time a chat board or I opened for Metallica, you know, two nights, and I was like, they're playing all Saint Anger tonight, and people are like, "Foo!" An arena of people, and I go, "Fuck you, it's great." Fucking Dirty Window, listen again, you know. I love this album, and it's funny to die on the hill because people always say like, is that the hill you want to die on? And I'm like, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. We were talking about Metallica before we started recording. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What hill am I willing to die on? It's weird because I'm petty all the time, and I'm trying to find which one, like...
The key petty.
The key petty.
The one you're willing to die on.
The highest petty.
Like, what is a thing that I think I'm right... And it's just like all day long I'm picking people apart.
Are you one of those gatekeepers? I'm the gatekeeper of comedy?
No. I think, but I do think I have, how I conduct myself in public is a pretty golden standard. So when I see people, you know, going against what I think is right, my pettiness, this isn't even a pettiness, but I'm just going to say something about cooking that bothers me is when people, I get you like cooking, but then when you then try to teach it as if your way is the right way and it's clearly wrong. Like, dude, you'll get this, and I don't know who else will, but like I watch this guy online. I like it. I like his YouTube shit. The dude's putting garlic in like a hot pan way too soon, and then he tries to now lecture you the rest of the episode, and I'm like, that's like cooking 101. You don't fucking put garlic in. It's like burnt to shit, and I'm just like, so maybe I don't even know if that's a petty thing. I'm just sorry, get like worked up.
I
don't care how you got worked up and threw outside. I'm like, what do I do with this now? I don't know what the fuck to do.
I hate those people when you're out eating food and you're like, this could be the best pie ever. And then they, no matter what, go, oh no, you don't know pie.
Oh,
and they bring up some pie in some shit town where they grew up, you know?
Yeah, and now you're like, what does that do for me?
Fucking Toledo, Ohio. They got a place called Squirrels. And you're just like, dude, move back there. Like those guys that are always comparing everything in L.A., you know? It's just insane.
In a moment where you can't do anything with that. And if anything, that's just now ruining the experience you're about to have based on squirrels.
Yeah. It's funny because Burr moved out here and he was telling me, you know, people were like, how could you live out there? They don't have any good pizza, you know? And he'd be like, yeah, right, yeah. But they got the fucking best tacos
burritos
ever, you know,
shit.
Whatever. Yeah, it's just like your life. You don't move because of a piece of pizza.
Right.
If you guys went back in time to meet your 13-year-old self, but you could only tell them three words, what would you say?
Three words?
Three words.
Mine would be, do stand up now. Mm-hmm. 100%.
I think I'd keep it simple and say, you are funny. So,
was that something you had doubts about growing up?
I still do. I feel like I want him to like start off on a better foot of, it's definitely doubting. I mean, I don't think I was ever the funniest guy in my friend group growing up by any means. I mean, growing up in New England, like everyone's so funny that like doing this and knowing, going back home and seeing them be so organically funny. And then you're like, what the fuck am I doing? But it's like trusting that there was humor in there from day one and like, probably would have tweaked my efforts at some things a little more, just gave me like confidence enough that would have been a little more beneficial. Not that I don't think it molded me into who I am now, but I think it would help.
That's interesting. If you didn't think you're funny, why did you start?
I do think I like joking around with my friends. I did have people say I was funny.
Right.
But like when I'm now information gathering, I'd be like, okay, they say I'm funny. I never like, I think it's weird because like growing up people would laugh, but it would always be like a situation where I'm trying to wrap my head around something. So like I remember when I was younger, my mom would say something and I'd be like, oh, that's like blank, and I would do like an analogy. And she would laugh, but I'm like, no, I'm trying to understand this, but like using an analogy to compare it was humor. So I guess, like, I would do shit like that, like, in my friend group, and they would find it funny. And, like, oh, you're funny. I'm like, I'm not trying to be funny. And then when people would say you're funny, it was, like, a weird thing to hear because a lot of it was just me trying to, like, articulate and wrap my head around shit. I was just basically saying I'm autistic, and I'm like, I'm just trying to, like, understand things. But I did enjoy stand-up a lot, so I kind of was like, okay, I do see people laugh. They say I'm funny. I like stand-up a lot, and I like the idea of, like, writing stuff, so it kind of got me in. But it was, like, it was missing that, like, because some comics are like, dude, I'm the funniest fucking guy. And I was like, I never had that where it was, like, fueling me. Maybe that would have made me worse, but I don't know. It's interesting to think about.
I was always, like, a fucking great roaster. Off the cuff.
Right, like making fun of people. I would do that in high school,
man.
And like thwart the bully kid. I would make him laugh and make fun of him, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
It was just like a defense mechanism.
Like fierce, but it got me in a lot of fights.
That's funny.
So I kind of pushed that down and kind of lost that skill for years.
It is.
Because you don't want to do it Because you know what's going to make the guy furious.
Well, and now this day and age, like you said earlier, everyone's so... You think you're ball busting and they're like getting genuinely mad. You're like, I like you.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah,
this is me flirting with you.
Yeah.
We're man flirting right
Somebody
now.
Once said, if you want to know what people really think of you, just do one of the roasts.
Dude, I swear to God, I want to do that just to hear people like really just dig in. And I'm like, I can't do that right now.
If you had to eat 10 pounds of one food in one sitting, what would it be?
Oh, man.
One of our I know the two. Questions. I'm just trying to think which one would be better. I'll say wings from Rocco's out here in the Valley, Studio City. Those are
Rocco's.
When they're done good, man, they're like magical. And I think I used to just run through those things after golf, and then I was like, all right, I got to like chill the fuck out. But that for sure. I'm pretty simple with my buffalo wing consumption, yes.
Mine would definitely be 10 pounds of tacos from Tacos Villa's Tacos in Highland Park. Mm. Oh, my God. Has anybody been there?
No, I don't know what that is.
What the fucking going on? It's like a Michelin star taco place.
What type of taco? What's your go-to?
Well, they make their own blue corn tortilla there. Mm-hmm.
That's the through line of most good taco places.
And then they melt the cheese on it, like crispy, like almost like a hard grilled cheese. And then just straight up, I don't care what meat's in there.
That's good. No, it's good. That's a good sign when they're all good. Because sometimes
put whatever you want in there.
Yeah.
And then grandma's back there making these sauces, and I'm like, and whatever she's brewing up, and this fucking cactus drink they make, I'll eat it till I die.
Right.
I've had severe reflux over the last 6 months. They're like, you can't have any of this. I go, yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's your famotine or it's my acid reflux pill I take, dude. It's great.
It is so fucking good that I'm glad it's not a couple blocks from my house.
You know it's good when the meat doesn't matter, because there are some places where you go and you're like, don't get that. It's they fucked that up.
Don't get the chicken. It's
it's
like,
hard and shit.
Pieces.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't pies from squirrels, but
squirrels, Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. And we'll go ahead and end on this one, guys. What change improved your life so much you wish you did it sooner?
What change improved their life?
Your life so much you wish you did it sooner, yeah.
Oh, man.
A change or something.
When does this come out?
Switched out.
Are you quitting booze or something?
Yeah.
Wasn't a plug Pride Month. No. What change have I done sooner? That's funny you said that, because I haven't drank since New Year's, and I'm pretty proud of how it makes me feel as far as I do. I'm going on a cruise on Friday, and I will be drinking on it, but if it's...
Are you doing comedy on the cruise?
No. Me and my girlfriend are just going to go and chill. But if, you know, if it's, what is it, 30 miles off the coast of America, it's international water, so it doesn't, my sobriety still stands in America.
Yeah.
That one, I suppose, I think the thing, what was the question? I'm sorry.
What change did you make in your life that improved your life so much you wish you did it sooner?
I'll say the drinking one right now. I think that's, it's me, because it was a culmination of like, you know, you grow up, you party, you drink and shit, and I have anxiety, and it would make it worse. And it was like to the point where I was like, you know, your anxiety shit all week, and then you're battling that, and then slowly go away. Then I'd go drink and shit with friends, not like an alcoholic level, but like enough where then you keep doing that process, and it just keeps getting you like shittier. And then over the years, and then finally, I was just like, why are you picking alcohol over like your mental well-being for 4 days of the week? So I was like. And doing that, it kind of ground it, like getting rid of that, you know, tamed the anxiety tremendously. It got me like serious about stand up. Like, okay, dude, like fucking go all in. Cause there'd be days where I'm like hungover or whatever, where I can't film a video or do something that's like generally progressing my career. And I was like, are you going to be thrilled in like 20 years when you go, I hope those fucking drinks were good, where now you're a fucking nobody working in construction again.
Yeah.
So it kind of like, that was like the keystone of an arch that I didn't want up anymore. And once you pulled that out, it kind of like everything fell into place like way better. So
mine was I quit sugar 8 years ago.
That's crazy.
Got diabetes. And I was like, you know, I was in the doctor's office and he goes, well, you got diabetes.
Well.
And I was like, what? That's not possible.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, yeah. And the medicine's $800 a month. And I go, well, I can barely pay rent right now. So what am I going to do? And he's like, I don't know. And I was just fucking stunned. So I quit sugar that day and went through this brutal 3 months detox and sick. But I knew I can't have diabetes and do comedy because I can't afford it, you know. I'd have to get a job, get some kind of health care. So I go, fuck, sugar is out. And I've ate sugar since I was probably 6 months old, you know. And people are like, what was your thing? Everything. Candy, ice cream, pasta, flour tortillas, white rice. I didn't know. I know everything about a Harley Davidson. I don't know one thing about my body.
So there which was is crazy to think.
Yeah, right? And there was a year I was drinking Jamba Juice only, like, I'm getting healthy. Mm-hmm. And those are just milkshakes.
It's literally just
it's all syrup, sugar.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I start my day with a Jamba. And I quit, and holy shit, I lost 40 pounds. And also, my brain started working better, and my skin. I used to just have a pure red face. Now I only have a red nose.
Nice.
Yeah. And
slowly melting.
It was just crazy, though, like, the change. And, you know, now I eat fruit. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so good.
It's delicious.
Oh, before I eat Starburst.
People hate fruit. I go, it's crazy. Like, a mango, dude, is like orgasmic.
It's like, I would eat a strawberry Starburst, which was wax.
It's just an old candle.
Just a piece of plastic in your mouth. You go, this is good. Now I eat a real strawberry, and I'm holy shit.
Especially now. Now's the time.
Oh, yeah, right now. Yeah, blueberries and... mango. I like that dried mango from Trader Joe's.
Bro. With the chili shit on it?
Yeah, that's candy.
I mean, that's candy, yeah.
So anyway, thank God I got diabetes, you know?
Do you, it's funny you said that because on TikTok I watched this guy where he has one of those things on his arm. And he'll eat food to see if it raises his blood sugar. Yeah. Do you track, like...
Well, I did.
You should get one of those things and then you can, like, watch real time, like... He'll be like, okay, I'm going to eat monk fruit sweetener, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, like, I've learned, too, with, like, if you're going to eat something with sugar, you have to add fat and fiber to
right.
it. So it mitigates spikes and shit. And
right.
It's interesting with that.
It's all about fiber.
It is. I eat
and
fiber.
And also.
Fiber is huge.
They had that thing out.
Yeah.
Before they had the monitor thing out, or maybe they had it out and I just didn't know. But what I did was I got this book. And that Josh Wolf gave me, and it's basically you reset your whole body. What you do is you go vegan for like a couple months, and then you slowly introduce stuff into your diet, and you check your blood, and you see what spikes it. Mm. And then the stuff that doesn't spike it, that's what you eat, and what does, you don't. You make a map, and you go, this is what I'm eating right now for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Right on. All right, no sugar, no booze. Where can the people find you guys? Thanks so much for doing the pod.
Yeah, man. I'm at Dean Del Rey on all platforms, DELRAY. I got a special out right now on YouTube. It came out 4 weeks ago called 5836, produced by the great Bill Burr, directed by Marcus Price, and website, DeanDelRay.com.
Yeah, Matty Chimber, everything. You just look it up. You'll find whatever you're looking for.
Perfect. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with two more blindfolded comedians. So be sure to subscribe to Longtime No See wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please leave us a review. It really does help. You can find our live events listed at longtimenoseecomedy.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week from the Gold Diggers Recording Studios in Los Angeles and the Consequence Podcast Network.